Why, friends, I've known men, politicians, and bankers who thought that because they loaned money to a man, that he must vote the way they wanted him to or risk foreclosure. I'm not afraid of offending any man who entertains that belief, because a man who would use a loan to intimidate or to deprive a citizen of his independence has yet to learn the genius of the institution under which we live. And I cannot impress upon you any greater truth than this, than that your ballot is your own to do with as you please, and you have but to satisfy your own judgment and your own conscience. And our conscience tells us that we must elect our friends and defeat our enemies. I feel quite sure that the members of the International Typographical Union, for example, will never vote to elect congressmen who voted for the Taft-Hartley law. The members of that organization have been persecuted by the law. They've been oppressed by the law. The members of the International Typographical Union have put up the greatest fight in labor history against the oppressive features of the Taft-Hartley law. As the president of the Illinois State Federation of Labor, I want to salute the membership of the International Typographical Union, and I particularly want to salute the officers and members of Chicago Typographical Union number 16 for the magnificent fight which they made, for the wonderful way in which they proved the Taft-Hartley law to be unworkable, and for the wonderful way in which they proved, in the final analysis, that the Taft-Hartley law is a piece of legislative tyranny against liberty. The members of the International Typographical Union are compelled to negotiate contracts within the framework of an injunction issued under this unconstitutional law. The members of this organization are not living under a government by law. They're living under a government by injunction, which means a denial of the right to trial by jury. I feel quite sure that the United Mine Workers, for example, will never vote to elect congressmen who voted for the Taft-Hartley law. The members of that organization were fined the first time $750,000. And the second time, they were fined $1,400,000. Their president was fined $20,000 for violating an injunction issued under this unspeakable and unconstitutional law. And how did this law come into existence anyhow? Well, friends, it was brought into existence by employers, by members of the Manufacturers Association, who appealed to Congress and who secured the enactment of a law that would neutralize the effectiveness of this great labor movement of ours. The employers, in their trusts and in their combinations, in their international cartels, if you please, and international combines, captured Congress and secured the enactment of a law that would drive back and kill the spirit of freedom, which flames in the minds and in the hearts of the working people of this great land. They secured the enactment of a law that regulates day-to-day operations of trade unions. They secured the enactment of a law that wrecks the Labor Relations Act. They secured the enactment of a law that provides for a revival of union busting by injunction. They secured the enactment of a law that creates two classes of citizens and places labor in the second class. They secured the enactment of a law that destroys equality between labor and management, destroys liberty, destroys justice. They secured the enactment of a law that actually becomes treason to the principles of freedom as we understand it here in these United States. They secured the enactment of a law that cloaks tyranny in the forms of law and legality. And it's up to labor now. It's the responsibility of labor to force the repeal of that law and to force the judicial branch of our government to live up to the Constitution while administering that law, while it still remains upon the statute books of this great state. Labor, as you and I know it, Labor desires no position over and above what's right and an equal freedom of all men. But we are a living standing and today a fighting protest against the attempt on the part of any court or courts who insist that they shall place our citizens in a subordinate position, which denies to him or to her or to any of the poorest of our people, which denies to him or to them the same right that has been accorded to any employer or to any other citizen, no matter how high his position may be. I say to you that a judge that would use this Taft-Hartley procedure, a court that would charge working people with criminal contempt and fine them and punish them for such contempt is violating the Constitution of the United States that court has sworn to uphold. And a judge that would violate the Constitution of the United States ought to be impeached by the representatives of the people in Congress assembled. And friends, he would be impeached if these congressmen actually represented the people instead of the great corporations. And it's up to this great federation of ours, the labor movement generally, to see to it that we elect congressmen in November who will represent the people. May I say this to you in passing? That labor is sick of the Taft-Hartley law. Labor is sick of the congressmen who voted for the Taft-Hartley law. And labor is going to do something about it. Back of the delegates seated in this great convention is the membership of the labor movement of this great state. 1,350,000 people who carry union cards. And back of organized labor in Illinois is the membership of the labor movement of this nation. 16 million people who carry union cards. We're tired of being stepped upon. We're not going to stand for it any longer. We've got a date in 1948, and we're going to keep that date. Sort of a rendezvous. It's a sort of a rendezvous with fate. As Kipling might say, a rendezvous with a stinkeroo. And we're going to keep that rendezvous. And when the votes are counted in November, when that election is over, the enemies of labor are going to be defeated. The Taft-Hartley bill will be repealed. The banner of tyranny will be torn down from the courts and from the legislative halls of this nation, and the battle flag of freedom, the principles of real Americanism, as represented by the stars and stripes, will be unfurled in its place. And when that time comes, our labor unions will again be free, and America will again be America for the working people of this great land. Now, just one word more. Then I think I'm through. And that's a word of congratulations. You and I belong to a great state organization. When I presided over my first convention in the city of Galesburg in 1930, just 18 years ago, there were less than 400 delegates in attendance at that convention. Today we have four times that number of delegates in attendance here. We have almost 1,600 accredited delegates in attendance at this great convention in Chicago this morning. The Illinois State Federation of Labor is at least three times as large as it was in 1930. And because the local unions affiliated with us can afford to send more delegates, we have at least four times the number of delegates that we had in 1930. I say you and I belong to a great state organization. It's a powerful organization. It's a wonderful organization. Because of the militancy and aggressiveness of the Illinois State Federation of Labor, there's a great deal of beneficial legislation on the statute books of this great state, and not one piece of bad legislation. Not one. I want to... I want to extend to you in closing my official congratulations which I think, and express the hope which I think is the hope of all labor, that the Illinois State Federation of Labor will function as successfully in the future as it has in the past. Now, this concludes the presidential message which I bring to you, which I trust in turn will bring a spirit of hope and confidence to the delegates assembled in this great convention in the city of Chicago, who are representing, as I stated before, a great state organization that has functioned successfully for labor in Illinois for 66 long years. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have heard an address by Reuben J. Soderstrom, President of the Illinois State Federation of Labor, the climax of this opening session of the 66th Annual Convention of the Illinois State Federation of Labor, which opened this morning here in Plummer's Auditorium, West Washington Boulevard in Chicago. This has been a special events presentation of WCFL, The Voice of Labor. We return you now to our studios.